every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree, stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, second Saturday of the month here at Rosie on the House, which means we are talking trees. ISA certified arborist John Eisenhower is joining us in studio. And if you're following along our home maintenance calendar, you know we're talking about our tree of the month is a carbo tree. And we're also be talking about fertilizing palms. And Mr. Eisenhower, you have a guest in studio with you this morning.
I do have my good friend Stephen Price joining us today, another certified arborist and a great colleague and a lover of trees. And it's always good to have Stephen at my side here. And we're talking about the carob tree.
Carob tree.
The carob tree, yes. Serotonia siliqua. If you want a beautiful shade tree, evergreen shade tree, this is a kind of an underutilized tree. You don't see them too often in the nurseries, but they are available.
And why do you not see them regularly?
You know, trees, like a lot of other things, are sort of a supply and demand. If people like certain trees, if they're easy to grow, easy to cultivate, the nurseries tend to keep them in stock. And there's also probably a little bit of a profit motive with the nurseries also carrying trees that achieve their landscape purpose quickly, that are faster growing because they're easier to cultivate and grow in the nurseries and get them to your yard. This carob tree is a little more slow growing. It puts on its wood a little bit slower, but it's like so many other trees that have gotten onto my favorite list, the carob tree is one of those more slow growing trees, like your oak, the live oak, but it's stronger, has fewer problems, has less breakage issues. If you're willing to wait for that tree, maybe another tree would achieve its landscape purpose in 5 or 6 years. This tree might be 8 or 10 years, achieving that same size. But I like it. Once it gets there, you're going to be really happy with it because of its beautiful structure. And as I said, it's much safer. They're not given to breakage, and it's a pretty long-lived tree too.
Does it fit my criteria that I'm not planting anything in my yard unless it produces something to eat?
It does.
And what is it, a carob bean or a carob nut or what is it?
It is. It's a carob pod, and it's a black 3 or 4, 5 inch, sometimes up to 6 inch long pod. You can't eat the seeds inside. They're hard as a rock, and they could break your teeth. In fact, they're so uniform in size, it gave rise to the word carrot. By which we, you know, you weigh gold and other things and diamonds are because the uniform size, they could use those carob seeds as a reliable weight. Certain number of seeds would weigh a certain amount. But anyway, that's another story.
That's a great story.
But yeah,
though.
It connected to carob carrot, but the it's the outside. It's actually the outer part of the pod. Whereas a pea pod, we eat the peas inside, we throw the pod away. With these carob pods, you throw the seeds away and you eat the outside. And it's processed into carob powder. Many people have seen this in your health food stores. That's basically a carob tree has these pods which can be processed and made into a carob powder, which is kind of a cocoa substitute. And it tastes a bit like chocolate. I love them. In fact, you can take the dried seed pods right off the ground. Dogs love them. You got to be careful; they'll eat too many of them, and they're not too discreet, and they'll eat the seeds as well. And anyway, but they can't hurt your pets, but they can overindulge, if you will. But I love them because you can we'll just munch on them when we're trimming some carob trees in the summer after the pods have completely dried up. I love them. They're just like a little caramel, you know.
And you say if you're looking for an evergreen shade tree, so I'm picturing this gets pretty big.
It does. They can get up to about 35, 40 feet in height at maturity, and they're wider spreading than they are tall. Again, a feature that is unique. Sometimes we have these very tall trees like eucalyptus, which tend to grow taller than they are wide. The carob tree has a nice spreading canopy, so it's great shade trees.
Now, you had mentioned it's a little hardier than your live oaks. What? How does it compare in water usage to an oak?
It's thirsty. Yeah, it's a thirsty tree, but carob trees are like the only other ones we would recommend here are very adaptable to our full sun, hot climates here. They do really well. They're just a super adapted tree. Surprisingly, they can be a little sun sensitive. You have to be kind of careful not to over trim them. Sometimes you look at these dark, thick bark trees like the carob tree and you think, oh, they're not going to be subject to sunburn, but they are. And we've seen a lot of sunburn on people that have over-trimmed their carob. So just be careful that you don't over-trim them. Let them just grow and that foliage, just a normal canopy of foliage provides all the protection they need from sun.
And am I looking at the right tree? It looks like it's a multi-trunk.
It can be. It's certainly multi-stemmed. You know, usually there's a single trunk, but the above, 6 or 8 feet of height, then that you'll have a beautiful arrangement of structural branches, scaffold branches, we call them, that provide a really spreading canopy, and we love them for that reason. There was a lot of them planted back in the, I think, the 50s and 60s, because we see them across town from time to time. They're getting at the end of their natural life now, some of those big mature trees, but they're just incredibly gorgeous trees. I know some of your listeners who have some of those amazing, awesome carob trees are so lucky, because they are a grand dam, if you will, of just a beautiful, beautiful mesic shade tree. Not really appropriate for a desert environment. They're more for your a wetter environment, your mesic landscapes that have a little bit of lawn. If you've got some flood irrigation, carob would be a great addition to one of those type of yards.
Two notes from me on the carob tree. Again, one of my favorite trees also, because they're just they're not rare, but they're kind of rare, and they're so beautiful when you get up close to them. And I can almost remember everybody's yard that I've been in. I can picture the tree in their yard, the mature ones, and just how beautiful they are. And some of the listeners are probably wondering, yeah, carob, it's the same that we have the carob chocolates and things like that. It's that same. That's where they get that from, of course, the carob tree. And another cool note is that some people refer to this tree as St. John's, or the fruit, St. John from the Bible, John the Baptist, because he was known, and also locust, because he was known to be out there, or said to be eating locusts and honey and carob. And so there's a real strong connection with that, which is
cool. They think that the reference to his eating locusts and honey was he wasn't eating the insects, the locusts. They think that maybe that word locust was referring to the carob pods,
because
yes, they were so widely distributed through the Middle East. And that makes sense, because they are a super nutritious seed pod. So maybe that's what he was munching on.
Well, Rosie'd asked if it was edible. There you go.
Yeah, you got it.
If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923. And you could also email info@rosieonthehouse.com if you need to snap a picture for plant or insect identification and send it along. You can also go to rosieonthehouse.com, and in the quick links on the homepage, you'll see the link there for the carob tree, where you can learn more about it. And we're also talking about our to-dos. We have a monthly talking tree to-do and a tree of the month. Tree of the month, again, the carob tree. And we're talking about fertilizing palms. If you've got a palm tree, palm trees, you very rarely see a property with just one.
Not often. Not unless it's a Canary Island date palm. Those are nice big specimen trees, or a Bismarck palm. Anybody have a Bismarck palm out there? Those things are really cool. They're a fan palm on steroids. They have
silver gray, right?
Yes, yeah, silvery gray leaves, but the fans are just monstrous. They can be 6 feet across just for one of the leaves. So they're pretty cool.
And what do we need to do about fertilizing them?
Oh, gosh. Fertilizing, this is a great time to be fertilizing all your trees. But the palm fertilization is unique in that palms often are deficient in certain micronutrients. So a good palm fertilizer not only has your macronutrients of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, but it generally will have some micronutrients like manganese, magnesium, zinc, and iron. And a good palm fertilizer should contain a lot of those micronutrients. And the we also talk about the different types of fertilization, the different methods for applying the fertilizer. We people say, well, what, you know, do the spikes work? Because there are some palm spikes out there which contain some of those micros, and they're actually they're good products. Every, you know, your tree's not concerned about how you get those nutrients down to their root system, because it just chemically it just sees the same product, whether it's a granular, a spike, or a liquid fertilizer. But keep in mind that if you do use a spike or a granular, that you have to be putting water down. And if your emitter system is not right directly over your spike, then you're not going to be breaking down the chemicals and getting them to the eventually chemical, those nutrients need to be in solution so that the roots can absorb them and take them in. So the spikes are a little bit more difficult to manage in terms of getting the necessary nutrients to the roots. That being said, spikes are okay. Granular is better, but better than that would be a liquid fertilizer. If you can get your liquid fertilizer down in a soil drench around the base of the tree or out to the root, the drip line is where we like to encourage the solution to go. There'll be a quicker uptake, and the plant will benefit from that.